Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
This khutbah with something that Dr. Haifa Yunus, may Allah bless her, when she had gone to Gaza, came back and, like many of the doctors, carried multiple gems of conversations. And she said that the only complaint, or the closest thing to a complaint that I heard, was it'ibna, we're tired. And subhanAllah, you can see that as time goes on, and this is part of the psychological warfare that's waged on a people, that it'ibna, we're tired. And that is the sentiment, that word, ta'ab, that sentiment is something that may be the case for many of those who are trying to usher in positive change in the world. It'ibna, we're tired. And this khutbah is not actually just about how we look at the becomings of a world that we really did not anticipate living in, with normalized genocide and beyond. But it's more about how are we supposed to feel about everything right now? And how much does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually care about how we feel? How much does Islam speak to the idea of feelings? How much are you supposed to feel deflated? How are you supposed to be encouraged? What's the balance between optimism and pessimism? You know, like every pessimist will say, I'm not a pessimist, I'm just a realist. What's the balance between all of these things, and how much are these emotions to actually be catered to? And how do we deal with ta'ab, just being tired? I'm tired, I'm exhausted. And what does that mean in regards to our faith? And I frame it with a conversation that I'll come back to inshallah ta'ala at the end of this khutbah. And it's the conversation with Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala and a man from Khurasan, and some narrations say his son. So let's just imagine a father and a son sitting in prison, and the trials of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah have gone on for so long. He's been tortured from one ruler to another. One khalifa tortures him in his own way, and then another khalifa comes in and tortures him in another way. And it feels like it doesn't matter which party or which president at the time, which khalifa is in charge, everyone just pulls him in and abuses him and oppresses him and tortures him. And there's a point to where, you know, you feel like you're starting to see hope, and then something happens again and you get pulled down. And so I want us all to kind of go to that sit down. And his son asks him the question, "Mata raha?" When do we actually rest? When do we actually find relief from all of this? And let's get back to the core question. How much does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to feel better about our life circumstances, about our world circumstances, about our pursuit, versus how much does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to respond to the call with a certain type of discipline? And I start off with this premise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ignore pain. Allah does not ignore our feelings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, shows that He cares about our emotions, He cares about our feelings, He cares about the way that things land on the believers, even if He knows they are good for them. And so the pain is not the problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors the pain. وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Do not grieve, don't lose heart, don't feel fear, because you are indeed the victorious party so long as you remain upon belief. We know that what they say about you, يحزنك, it makes you sad. We understand the grief that you're feeling, O Prophet of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal even says, subhanAllah, just thinking about this hadith Qudsi, the end of it, and you can miss it if you're reading through it fast, especially the last line of a hadith. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تَرَدَّتُ عَنْ شَيْءٍ أَنَا فَاعِلُهُ تَرَدُّدِي عَنْ نَفْسِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, that I don't hesitate with anything that I do the way that I hesitate in taking the soul of a believer. Why? Is it because death is not good for the believer at the time that it is? No. يَكْرَهُ الْمَوْتِ وَنَا أَكْرَهُ مُسَاءَتَهُ, he hates death and I hate disappointing him. What a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He hates death and I don't like to disappoint him. Even though Allah knows that's the appointed time, وَلَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْهُ, that is, you know, what every inevitable ending looks like for every single person, I care about how my believing servant feels about something that is inevitable. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually honors those feelings. He honors those emotions. He makes it a point, مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى, the Qur'an was not revealed upon you to cause you undue burden or distress. He tells the Prophet ﷺ, يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا, to make things easy, not to make things hard. And he says, بَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا, and give glad tidings, don't deflate people. Very interesting hadith, subhanAllah, because if you read the sharh of the hadith, the explanation of that prophetic narration, the first part of the hadith, يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا, make things easy, don't make things difficult, means in regards to the prescription of the actual rulings, the law, the ahkam, right? Allah wants for you ease. How does He want for you ease? He says it in the Qur'an. If you're sick, you don't have to fast. If you're on a journey, then you're excused. There are certain dispensations and concessions that are embedded within the law so that there's yusr. It's not usr. When you travel, you can shorten your prayers. In fact, Allah likes that you shorten your prayers when you travel. Allah likes that you take His concessions the way that He likes that you take on the difficult commands. So the first line of the hadith, يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا, is in regards to the ahkam, in regards to the law itself. The second line, بَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا, give people glad tidings, don't deflate them, speaks more to the delivery and the way it's going to land and how people should not be told things in a way that they're going to feel like salvation is impossible and Allah's mercy is inaccessible and that halakan nas, everything is done. They should not be made hopeless and fall into despair. So all of this is actually deeply evident through the Qur'an and through the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that Allah does actually care how we feel. And Allah does care how His servants feel when they are undergoing difficulty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken that into consideration with the revelation and with the legislation. But then there's a second layer to this. There's a problem when you approach religion, when you approach deen for dopamine, and you're not willing to engage in the discipline. When your dua becomes like a form of like mood regulation and how I make myself feel better with my dua and my supplications, my prayers become about how I deal with the situation, not actually changing the situation, how I deal with the situation, how I feel, that Allah is going to make me feel a certain way. Even though you make du'as, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan, you ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect you from being paralyzed or incapacitated by anxiety or grief. But when dua solely becomes about that, when the Qur'an becomes about the inspirational quote to get you through the next day, and it becomes all about religion as therapy, and the religion of Allah is not therapy. There are therapeutic elements of the religion. There are therapeutic elements of this mission. There are things that are embedded with living with a life of purpose that allow you to face what are otherwise obstacles that are impossible to overcome. There are therapeutic elements, but the religion cannot become therapy. It can't become chasing dopamine. It can't become, I want to feel better and that's why I'm going to pray this prayer and that's why I'm going to do this thing that I've, you know, I heard that if I do this that I'll feel better. Because sometimes Allah doesn't want you to feel better, He wants you to do better. Sometimes Allah wants you to be better. And that comes through the difficult prescriptions of sadness, of toil, of mission, of burden. It comes through those things. And you have to accept that. And there is always this healthy medium of, I should feel a sense of deficiency. I should feel like I should be doing more. And Imam Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, المؤمنُ يعمل الطاعات وهو مشفقٌ وجلٌ خائفٌ والفاجرُ يعمل بالمعاصي وهو آمن. He said, radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa rahimahullah, that the believer performs good deeds and the heart trembles and there is a fear that maybe I need to do more for it to be accepted. And there is this sense of feeling charged to take the next step. Whereas the sinner commits their sins, وَهُوَ آمَنَ, and they feel complete.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
Completely safe from those sins. Like, they're fine. I'm okay in life, right? So the believer feels entrusted with something that's deeper, with something that's greater, that encompasses a certain sense of stress and burden to move you to another level of yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jal constantly makes it a point to say, it was not to stress you out. It was not to hurt you. Allah takes no joy in causing you pain. Allah takes no joy in disappointing you. But there are necessary burdens that exist in this life to wean you off of it a bit. And subhanAllah, I was even thinking about the ayah, إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Verily with hardship comes ease. We share this ayah to comfort ourselves. We share this ayah to make ourselves steadfast. But look how quickly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qualifies it so that you don't become sedated by the verse. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. And so when you free up from something, whether it is getting out of a difficult moment or passing through this difficult trial, fansab. And the root of fansab, nasaba, actually comes from fatigue. Exert yourself. Put yourself through exertion. It's very interesting because it's the same root of the word that Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, we know it most in her narration, when Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to give the Prophet ﷺ, the message to Khadija to give her the glad tidings of Jannah, give her the glad tidings of a home in paradise made of pearl, لا سخب فيه ولا نصب, in which there is no noise and no fatigue. The stress is gone. نصب, فانصب. And so there is the stress that comes through the tiredness of test. That test wears us out. And then there is the stress that is optional fatigue through exertion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you're comfortable, that's actually a problem. That innama al-usri yusra, moving from hardship to ease, or with hardship comes ease, does not mean you can go back to being comfortable. It means that if you pass through the inevitable tiredness of test, then put yourself through the optional exertion of fatigue for His sake. It's a very powerful transition that we find in these ayat. And so for the sake of time, because I promised myself I wouldn't go late in this khutbah, the sake of time, back to that conversation. Imam Ahmad sitting with his son. And it's a father sitting with his son in Gaza. It's a mother sitting with her child in Gaza. It's two people that are working and trying to do something great, sitting together, and they're feeling deficient. And how do we deal with everything that's on the outside and move forward? Because the more that you know about the world, the harder it becomes to be comfortable. And the realization, the more you come to the realization that there is life after death, the less comfortable you get with life before death. So how do I deal with this bundle? Imam Ahmad rahimahullah could have responded and said, listen, the tide is turning. Soon I'm going to get out inshallah and everything is going to be great and I'm going to become one of the most famous imams in history and my janazah is going to be the largest recorded janazah in history. Victory is on its way. This humiliation is for a short time. But you know what he says? Mata raha, or when do we find ta'am raha, the sweetness of relief? He responds and he says, bi awwali qadamin yakhtuha fil jannah. You know when your relief is? With the first step that you take into Jannah. That's when your relief is. The expectation is that's when you actually find relief. That doesn't mean we're not going to seek victory. That doesn't mean that we're not going to seek a way out. That doesn't mean that we're not going to pray for a way out of our difficulty and hope for a way out of our difficulty. But the actual raha, the actual relief that we're going to find is when we get to Jannah. Why? Because you know what, dear brothers and sisters? If bi'idhnillahi ta'ala we free Palestine in our lifetimes, for example, we're going to have a lot more work to do. That's on like a very global level. When you come out of one test, if Allah brings you out of a test, the tax of your test is that you better now use your comfort to get somebody else out of their test. The raha of the believer, that true rest is not here. And it's a simple truth that carries a major implication in our methodology of how we approach Allah. As the poet said, بَصُرْتَ بِالرَّاحَةِ الْكُبْرَى فَلَمْ تَرَهَا تُنَالُ إِلَّا عَلَى جِسْرٍ مِنَ التَّعْبِ. That you sought that major relief in your life and you weren't able to find it until you realized that it is not found except on a bridge of tiredness. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, الْجَنَّةُ لَا تُنَالُ إِلَّا عَلَى جِسْرٍ مِنَ التَّعْبِ. Paradise is not found except after you cross a bridge of ta'ab. Tiredness, fatigue, exhaustion. It's the opposite of raha, right? Jannah is raha. When you get there, you rest. That's when relief is found. That's when relaxation is found. That's when you retire, is when you get to Jannah. And that's it. If Allah Azza wa Jal happens to be squeezing you as an individual level or squeezing us as an ummah to the greatest extent right now, the point is not for you to say, Ya Allah, let go of this for me so I can rest. The point is, Ya Allah, see me through this in a way that you will be pleased with me, in a way that will contribute to my ultimate raha, to my ultimate relief, and in a way that will enable me to be there for somebody else. That's why I want raha. That's why I want rest. That's the relief that I seek. And subhanAllah, I think of that conversation of Imam Ahmad and what he set for the standard, the bar that he set for his son. Like, I might die in prison and that's going to be okay, because that's not where my raha is found. I might die here. You know, we have stories in Islamic history. I mean, look no further. Imam Ahmad, Imam Abu Hanifa. One dies in prison, one dies out of prison. They're both two of the four imams, right? They make up half of the four imams. Incredible. But I look back at that and that rest and that relief, and you watch these people in Gaza and you can hear through the videos that drone over them, constantly buzzing over them, and then the bombs, and then the starvation, and then the news of someone else dying. 700 days of that. I don't know how a person functions, to be honest with you. And then you think of the moment that they breathe their last and quiet. SubhanAllah, like think of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his last moments in this world. How tired he was. He had a spear through his body and he was trying to get up and move forward and get up and move forward, and he had a spear through his midsection. And he died like that. And the Prophet sees him how? Relaxing on a couch in Jannah. Like, relaxation. Ar-raha. What did the Prophet ﷺ mention? That the first night that the believer goes to the grave, after all that, all the becomings of the grave, go to sleep. That's your nap time. Now go ahead and take a nap. After the exhaustion of this journey, take your first nap. Now there's relief. There's rest. This changes the way we approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're not tired, get tired. If you're not uncomfortable, get uncomfortable. Push yourself to that. That's actually part of the point. And victory is only meant to become the foundation of another victory, because this world will never be perfect for us as individuals or be perfect for us in the collective sense or in the communal sense. The last thing, alhamdulillah, we have three people that are taking shahada that I already know of here today, alhamdulillah. And I just left from giving another sister shahada, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. And I know that at least one of those sisters that's with us today is one of those people that came to the protests for Gaza and that became inspired to learn about Islam because of her protesting for Gaza, and then looked into the Quran and realized that it's the faith of the people of Gaza that sustains them in this exhausting journey, and is voluntarily coming to become a part of that journey as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless her and all of our sisters and brothers that have embraced Islam, that are embracing Islam, and may Allah azza wa jalla allow us to maintain perspective. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not let our tiredness go to waste. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. You've been created in toil. Everyone gets tired in this world, but some people's tiredness goes to waste. May Allah let all of our ta'ab be for His sake. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of it, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring relief and make us a source of relief for our brothers and sisters, and allow us all to celebrate the ultimate relief, that ultimate raha, in Jannat al-Firdaus with our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullahi wa lakum wa lisa'il muslimin fastaghfiru innahu al-ghafur.